I wrote Diane a letter because I'm not always the most goodest with my words. Out loud.
This moment right here we're all about to experience is usually one of the highlights of my week for good reason. By the power vested in me, I hereby declare this week's Friendly Town City Council meeting to order. Chant it with me. Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Yay! Welcome to the Friendly Town City Council meeting. Last week, we discussed ways in which Friendly Town can cure its hangover. We're still hungover. 2 weeks ago, we discussed potential national anthems for Friendly Town. We still don't have a national anthem. 3 weeks ago, we all just got together and did live reads of a couple episodes of Friends, and that was actually the most fun we've had. That was the most progress we've made as a city. Collectively at one of these meetings in a very long time. Now, I have bad news, you guys. It's I can't sugarcoat this. Diane left us.
No.
I mean, I it's it was kind of a shell shock moment. I mean, you guys ever think something, you know, you're sure of something and then it's not? Has that ever happened to any of you? Well, I mean, this is the first time in the history of our town that a woman has broken up with us. The entire town. And tonight, by the power vested in me and the power vested in the Friendly Town City Council, we are going to win Diane back! Woo! So tonight, a bunch of our city council members are going to come up here and just tell us just how they're going to get Diane to fall back in love with us and come back. She moved into a condo complex in Chum Village, and they fucking suck over there. They're our enemies. Those of you guys who are unfamiliar with the Friendly Town universe, Chum Village are the next town over, and they're the worst. They're the absolute worst. So tonight, we're going to hear from all of our city council members just how we're going to get Diane back. And first, I'm going to lead you guys off with a little bit of candid something about myself, about why I think Diane left me. Diane left me because she was getting tired, not just of the DUIs. She was getting tired of the constant, constant plagiarism lawsuits. And I understand, if you're out there listening, Diane, my plagiarism days are behind me. In fact, I wrote you this song that I think sums up the way that I feel about you, Diane. In this original song. God damn it, Diane, why'd you have to leave? You make me feel so dark on the inside. These notes just poured out of me. This piano line that I wrote last week, and these lyrics that I wrote while I was crying in the shower. I missed the first line, but it's okay. Oh, voice just like the ringing in my ears.
favorite dreams of you still wash ashore. Going through my head till I don't want to sleep anymore. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm not feeling that one. Play the next original song that I wrote. That was that Diane also influenced, mind you. God damn it, Diane, why'd you have to leave? Yeah, this is a good one. I thought of this electronic drum beat. You know, it reminded me of how Diane and I used to fight over who was hogging the sheets. And one time she rolled over in bed and just elbowed me straight in my head. And I'm just like, ow, I feel like there's a hole in my head. So I wrote this original song. Damn it, Diane. Why don't you come back? Why don't you come back? God, money won't do anything for you, Diane. And money, just tell me what you want me to, Diane. And money, nail me up against the wall like Diane would do. God, money don't want everything you wanted all. No, you can't take it, Diane. You can't take it, Diane. No, you can't take that away from me, Diane. That went all right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Friendly Town Needs to Win Diane Back. Give it up for yourselves for being out here. All right, your first lovelorn member of the city council who's going to just tell Diane why she needs to come back and be with us again is a good buddy of mine, someone who is a very, very original artist, very interesting fellow. Give it up for the lovelorn Jeff Danger.
I'm a wizard, for those of you who don't know. And so I'm going to do some wizardry. And next time Diane has an acid trip or does some shrooms, she's totally going to get this message. All right. So first off, Diane, I didn't even realize you ever had a thing with Tyler. Or the rest of the town. Though I did assume, as I told you very often. Now, I understand. I get it. We never actually officially dated or had sex. But you said you might be interested in it sometimes. And I was just trying to follow you up on it. Like remember that time? Remember that time we were at that party? And I was the joke, the Heath Ledger Joker as a Halloween, and you were. I asked you what you were, and you were all sparkly, and you're like, I'm a slut, and I was like, are you in character? And you're like, yes, and then you were, but with someone else, and I was like, oh, I can wait, and then you call me up all the time, Diane, asking for drugs, because for some reason you thought I was a drug dealer. And what I never told you, Diane, is I wasn't. I just found them. I just found exactly what you wanted. And then you used them to sleep with other people. Remember that time, Diane, that you were sad about a thing? And you're like, meet me at the place, the bar. And we went out there, and you put your hand on my shoulder, and you're like, Jeff, you're my only friend who I haven't slept with. And you thought it was funny, Diane. But I understand, sex isn't love, so I still love you. You can still come home to me eventually. So, I'm a wizard, Diane. I live backwards through space and time. I know someday in the future this will work. Remember that time, Diane? When you were pregnant? This is in the future. And you didn't know who the child's father was? And then I raised the child for you for 10 months? And we still didn't do it? Like, I understand that, like, saying the friend zone thing, that's, like, bad. Now, Diane. But maybe I'm a little drunk. And feel a little used. But maybe, Diane. Maybe. I can get over you fucking everyone else in the town. By not having ever fucked anyone in the town. Because think about it, Diane. If you just, like, spend one weekend with me. Okay, hear me out. Just come hang out for a minute. What if I'm that thing you've been missing? You know, what if you're that thing I've been missing? What if with you in my life, I'm a better version of you and me? With you in it. Remember that time, Diane, you invited me over and, like, you're like, I just want to cuddle. I just need someone to be there. I was there in 5 seconds, Diane. That could be the rest of your life. I could be there for every 5 seconds, Diane. But I already know that it doesn't work out. So I'm just going to be real with you. Like, we do it once, okay? We do it once. It's weird for you. I'm just saying, like, give me mine. I put my time in. God damn it, Diane. Thank you.
Jeff Danger with a love letter from the future? Question mark. I think that was what he was trying to win Diane back with, a love letter to Diane in the future. Well, maybe in a few years' time, Diane will see the light and she will come back into our loving arms here at Friendly Town. Well, we don't know. Maybe another disenchanted ex-lover of hers can come on stage. Maybe one who just got a new job, perhaps, that might be able to talk a little bit about that as a reason for Diane to come back to Friendly Town. Let's see what Carson Barnes has to say to Diane. Carson Barnes.
Why? Fucking. Why? It's just so sad sometimes. Why did you have to leave me? Come on out of love. Come on, I am you. I know you hated that song when I fucking loved it. Dirty Diane. No? It's okay. You did weird shit. I can put up with it. You know, I don't care that you ate sushi with your bare hands because you said it was authentic. Yes. I saw you walk in, open the door, and not wash your hands. It's fucking gross, but I love you. I can handle that. Oh, I miss you so much, Diane. I missed you so much that I went and I bought one of those smelling salts so I could just be reminded what it was like to go down on you.
Wow.
Really fucked me up, Diane.
Wow. I'm trying to, like, think of all the ex-girlfriends that I've had and I'm talking shit about them.
That's rough, man. That's rough.
I hated your dad. broke things off. He called me a nice guy. I'm such a nice guy. You said I always, you know, nice guys finish last, but why do I always come first? So Diane, I'll cut you a deal, all right? Look, I know you got a little jealous ever since I became a stand-up comic. I got all this scathing attention from other women who were literally throwing themselves at me. And I said, no, I have Diane and her shitty dad. Yeah, I was just as surprised as you were. Diane, I had no idea that I needed a life jacket because I would be drowning in so much pussy from being an open mic comic. But you know what? I'll give that up for you. I will quit my career as a comedian and go be a doctor, which I was. Okay, a dentist, not a doctor, but like, all right. Just let me know how I can make it work.
You know, every good relationship takes sacrifice, and I think that giving up a career as an open mic comic in Knoxville, Tennessee is the ultimate sacrifice. Diane! Diane, you're killing us. So Diane, of course, because she's the ultimate person, you know, she is non-gender binary type person. She dated the entire town. And we're going to win her back with both men and women tonight, calling out her name into the abyss to see if those words trickle down into her wonderful ears, you know, with slightly detached earlobes. Okay, that's just me. I know that's weird. I understand. I'm sorry about my fetish, Diane. I will get over it. I'll learn to look at the rest of the head, not just the ears. Anyway, please give it up for our next lovelorn, Beth.
Thank you. I heard that. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to borrow from the police a little bit here and just sing, but I promise I'm going to try to make it funny. Thanks for fucking up the mic stand. Diane, you don't have to come to open mic. But if you do, Carson will tell you how much pussy he likes. Diane, that's what I'm doing right now. But if you come here, Jeff will put a spell on you. Diane, you don't have to walk in through that door. But if you do, I might not do stand up anymore. Diane! Tyler told me not to try. But I don't listen, cause he's just another fucking guy. Diane! You know that the beer here is cold. Everybody else but me is like 20-something years old. Diane, my song is almost through. But if you come back, I'll buy you a beer or two. That's it.
That was so brilliant. I don't see how Diane cannot come back. Also, Diane was very upset by the libel and slander you're saying. I never told you not to try, you know that. And Diane would not appreciate that slander.
It rhymed.
Yeah, it did rhyme. So, you know, it cancels it out. So I guess you're right. Diane liked things canceling each other out. Again, I understand a really weird thing in a relationship to value, but this next person is someone who I very cruelly forgot to introduce at the head of the show, as I normally do, but as your bartending mayor, not only did he serve Diane cold beer at a good price, but he also has some words for her. Todd Lewis.
I wrote Diane a letter because I'm not always the most goodest with my words. Out loud. Dearest Diane, I hope this letter finds you well. The last 3 months without you have been unbearable. I have had time to reflect on our relationship and how important you've been to me over the years. We were high school sweethearts. Of course, the 14-year age difference always made things awkward. But we never let other people get between us. We didn't let the judging eyes of pious losers or the laments of the clergy get between us. We overcame the various sex communications, orders of protections, and frequent warning shots to step for us to stop. We had kids as we got older, and I could have done a better job raising them. You were right, I shouldn't have fed them all those cans. You always knew so much more about raising goats than I did. I remember when we first started courting, I would ride by your house just to make sure your car was in the driveway, that you weren't hanging out with that Thomas boy, the basketball star. And to my great satisfaction, he kept his distance with minimal interjections by myself. As we dated for a few years, I got attached to you, perhaps a little too attached, always wanting to know who you were with and where you were. Eventually, I worked up the courage to ask you to marry me. You said we couldn't afford it, and you were right, but I was able to talk you into it eventually. Our ceremony was beautiful, despite the objections of my parents, your parents, all of her friends and family. And her wedding was sparsely attended and not recognized by any government or religious organization. Those first few years of marriage were the happiest of all my days. Every afternoon when I would get home, I felt like I had won some prize I didn't deserve, like I was the luckiest man in all the world. All of my friends were so jealous of your beauty, and they would have been jealous of more if they would have known you in the manner that I did. But we started having problems. You wanted to have children, but I was hesitant. I could have tried harder. I could have done more for myself. We would fight over anything: money, dinner, toys, what to watch on TV, sexual positions, our own made-up religion and cult. But through it all, your love never left me. It didn't leave me after you did, by order of a judge of the state. I'm writing you this letter to tell you that I want you back, Diane. My senior prom is coming up, and there's no one I'd rather take than you. Love, your spring flower. P.S. I'll be 18 by then.
These tears are not because that was so funny I cried laughing. These tears are the joy I'm feeling over the... There's no way Diane can say no to that terror that we just heard. There's no way. God damn it, Diane. Do you hear our words? Do you hear them? I'm sorry. I had a moment. So, well, that was for me. That was just for me.
That was so good.
Thank you. You don't have to say it twice. I mean, you could say it again, but don't, because we have another person who's going to come up on stage, another citizen who has many great memories with Diane, and I think someone whose argument there's no way that this person will not help Diane see reason. Please put your hands together for Jax Porter.
All right. Like Todd, I also wrote a letter because she hasn't returned any of my voicemails. So, my dear Diane, I hope this letter reaches you in time for all my apologies to still count, because, Oh man, it took me a long time to remember that long list of my transgressions. Let me start at the beginning. When I first met you at that Halloween party, I should not have asked you to scissor me timbers, even though you were dressed as a smoking hot pirate wench, and I figured you'd laugh at what I thought was the one original lesbian sex joke. I'm really glad you gave me that pity date, even though I'm pretty sure it was a dare. I'm so sorry I got so drunk on our second date that I almost barfed in your mouth. Never again will I take advantage of both the $5 Jack Daniels and the $2 Bud Heavies at the same night at Booze Barn's karaoke night. I also promise to refrain from singing Jolene, as it is just embarrassing for all of us, especially your ex-girlfriend. I'm so sorry I asked you to move in on the third date. I guess I took the U-Haul thing too seriously and neither of us were ready. I learned I should wait till at least 2 months. Finally, I'm so sorry that we had that threesome with Kelly Jo. I didn't realize that an ecstasy-fueled group sex session with my second cousin, which is legal in this state, could turn out so badly. It doesn't help that she's your postmaster now in Chum Village, and I found out that she's been stealing all your Amazon packages. I owe you my most sincere regret and everything you ordered online for about 3 months now. Diane, I know you moved on to the big city, but come back. I'm going to treat you so right from now on. No more bar fights. No more horrible jokes at your expense. No clingy and desperate grand gestures. Well, after this one. Just haul all your stuff back to my house and we can write this off as a severe PMS fit, right? Love, Jax.
You hear the sounds? That's the sounds, that might be the sounds, the pitter-patter of Diane packing boxes at her condo in Chum Village to move the boxes back to Friendly Town. We can only hope! Wind that hope together, you guys. We have a few more people who are going to tell Diane that she needs to come back to us. The next one of which is actually one of the founding fathers of Friendly Town. So you know he's serious about getting our most beloved citizen back. Ladies and gentlemen, John Hurst.
I'm really nervous about exposing myself like this to Diane, so I hope she can hear me. So I'm gonna read it off. It's not a letter. It's just like it's just what I'm gonna be saying. So Diane, I'm sorry. Okay, look, I took you for granted. I realize that now. It took me losing you to see what I real like what I was missing. Because right now, Diane, you were my everything. Everything that made me me. It came from you. You and everyone else in this godforsaken town like turned their back. You had my back. When the world got me down, you were there to lift me up. When no one would share me their Netflix password so I can watch Orange is the New Black with you, you gave it to me. And we watched it together. Well, until I lost that job, then I watched it and then I gave you recaps. But I mean, like, you... Like, it wasn't just, it like, I turned all that down, and I'm a fool for that. I am so sorry. It wasn't just that. You gave me your Wi-Fi password, your Hulu account, your Crunchyroll, your other streaming services. It was, you know, I can't watch anything without you, because you also took the TV. I mean, it was technically yours, but I mean, that makes sense, but you didn't, like, I don't know what to do at this point, and you picked up my tab at the Friendly Town Bowlplex, and hell, like you pay the electricity bill, pay the rent. Your credit score's really gone down lately. I'm sorry, really sorry about that. But you know, just like I honestly had this whole plot planned out. But the only thing I had in the apartment now is a VHS tape to Adventures in Babysitting, which I can't watch because it's on VHS, and you took that too, the VCR. And sure, you may have left because you said you were, like, tired of excess baggage and all that. But, you know, Diane, like, you know, there are things that I can do that not many people can. Who else is going to hit like on your Facebook post while, like, you're away for everything? who's going to microwave those burritos? I know I can microwave a really good burrito. 2.5 minutes is all you need. I don't even put the paper towel over it. So look, let's just let me know. Just let me know, Diane. Like, just text me the new Netflix password, and we'll be okay. Listen, we can talk. We can watch Glow. We can watch Glow together. Diane, please. I want to watch Glow.
Let's watch the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, but none as gorgeous as Diane. Not a single one of them as gorgeous as Diane. She really took the town TV, didn't she? Fuck, yeah, we're screwed up. We had one like big screen TV in Friendlytown, and she took it with her to Chum Village. So they're probably watching, they probably already have the season 2 of Stranger Things, for all I know. They're probably watching it right now. I'm not cool with that, Diane, if you can hear us. We have 4 more city council members that are going to wish to Diane that she comes flying back into our collective arms as a town. This next one is someone who's a relative newcomer to our fine city, but he did get a couple of good dates in with Diane before she split, so you know, he's got a case. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Josh Lampley.
I'm really glad that everyone else wrote letters to Diane, because I actually wrote one to her conniving bitch best friend, Gina. In our few dates, I got to know Gina pretty well, so this is my letter to Gina. Gina, how's it going? Doing well? Good, good. Yes, I responded to my own question in this letter, but that's because I know what bullshit answer you probably spewed when you started this decree. And that's right, Gina. This isn't a friendly letter. This is a decree. A war cry. When Diane and I first started dating, I remember you texting things to her phone like, hey, want to grab drinks with the girls tonight? Or, that was it. That's all you did. I would always answer for her with a prompt, nah, LMAO. I thought it provided a lighthearted answer, but that was never good enough for you. You would call, leave voicemails to Diane like, you missed a lot of fun last night, or let's grab some lunch sometimes, girl, or your grandmother died last night. But Diane never got these messages. I made sure of that. I had to protect her heart from the sure heartbreak your friendship was to provide. Little did I know I was protecting the wrong heart all along. I built so many walls around Diane that she began to confide in me. She began to trust me. We built a relationship together with no help from you. She wouldn't even turn on the dishwasher until I got home from work because she knew I liked my cups steaming hot for dinner. That's love. You're just a cold plastic cup full of 2% milk. I'm a tall, steamy glass of Yoo-hoo, baby. You mean nothing to me. You don't even have a name. When someone talks about you, I say you who? Now, I hope you didn't like that joke because you don't deserve my humor. My mother once told me, Josh, you'll never find a real love if you keep masturbating in public showers. But Diane proved her wrong. And her janitorial pass at the Y allowed me to work out 5 times a month as her guest. How many times did she bring you, Gina? I wouldn't know. They won't let me look in the guest book. Now Diane is staying with you. She's trying to figure things out. Well, there's nothing left to figure out. Things are out. I'm out. Out of love, out of passion. Diane is out. Out of our apartment, out of my emergency medical contacts. You're out. Out of excuses, out of your goddamn mind. How could you tear us apart? How could you encourage Diane to see what else is out there? There's only one explanation. You must want me. Admit it, Gina. You hate seeing me with Diane. Well, here's your chance. Meet me at Shoney's on Sunday, 1 p.m. It's that perfect time after the old-timers leave and before the store slowly starts to shut down at 10 p.m. We can meet at 12:30 if you want. There's no chance of us running into Diane's grandmother. But I can assure you one thing. Diane will always be my first love. You can't replace her, so you might as well bring her with you to Shoney's. I would suggest a threesome, but I can only afford one buffet, so we're going to have to keep it civil. I don't know. Maybe we can work something out. If not, you know where you can find me. post-workout, barefoot in the showers, where it all began. With love, Josh.
Josh Lampley! I knew Gina was behind. I knew Gina was behind that. All right. Conniving. I think she was just trying to hang out with her friend, but conniving! All right. So you guys, I think another way that we could potentially get through to Diane is to post messages to her on our Facebook wall. Maybe after the show, if you guys haven't already liked facebook.com/friendlytownknoxville, do so and just write messages to Diane. Apropos of nothing, just write them on the wall after the show. And she'll see those, because we know it shows up in her Facebook feed. Because we went into her Facebook and made it like so it shows up at the top of her Facebook feed whenever she opens Facebook, our notifications on the page. It's a really weird algorithm, but, you know, we're going to get through to you, Diane. Woo. Your next lovelorn member of our society, of our town. Someone who's been around the block. And I mean that in a good way. And a bad way. But mostly a good way. Welcome with open arms, Shane S. Ryan.
I don't even know if this number still works. Let's see. Hey, Diane. Yeah, it's me. No, nothing's wrong. I just looked at my phone, and I didn't know if this number still worked. And yeah, it's been a long time. Been 15 years since the divorce. It's been a while, and I'm just traveling. Everything's good. It's good. I just was traveling through Friendlytown, and thought I'd see if you still lived here too. Chum Village. Okay. Well, the company's got me traveling now. I'm doing sales. I was at the bowling lane earlier and trying to convince them to buy some non-exploding pins. And you'd think that would be an easier sale. Yeah, you're right. It's all right. It's God, I missed you. I didn't mean to say that so quick. I'm sorry. I just. I was just thinking about you. The thing is, I'm here in Friendlytown, and there's a Tasty Freeze here in town, and it reminded me of you. And I used to suck on those chili dogs, and which was weird because that's not how you eat a chili dog. There's no meat. There's no meat in a chili dog. It's just chili and a bun. And why you were sucking on that, I know we've had this fight before. But that's not how you eat a chili. Anyway, I've been watching German porn lately, and I think I get it. I'm in this comfort inn here at Friendlytown, and it's not comfortable, or I don't think it's an inn, actually. I never remarried. After the injury, I didn't play football anymore, and I wanted to go to the city, and you said I wasn't missing nothing. And we got married. We stayed in Friendlytown, and I thought it'd be great. You were afraid to change. I don't know why I'm having this conversation. Maybe I'm drunk. It's possible I'm drunk. The bowling lanes, I drink a lot to try to sell the non-exploding pins. And you would think that'd be an easier sell. I don't understand this town at all. But yeah, it's weird. I was thinking, are you remarried? My Uncle Eddie. That's weird. After he divorced Brenda, I never thought he'd have anything again. He was just bitter about marriage the whole time. That's weird. Okay, well, that's fine. That's good. No. Any kid? No kids. Okay. That's fine. Well, yeah. I bought an Oldsmobile recently. It's like the old one I had when we were in high school. You remember the backseat of that, don't you? I saw the tree, too, where we'd take off your Bobby Brooks slacks for no apparent reason. I think I saw your slacks still back there, actually. It's weird. You're the only girl in the 80s who wore Bobby Brooks slacks. You realize that, right? Anyway, no, I just... No, I don't. I don't know. I was just calling because I'm sitting here alone in the hotel, and I thought I'd just see if your number still worked, and, you know. No, I'm not trying to win you back. I know that's gone. That's past. But I was kind of hoping maybe you'd just sing that ditty with me. One more time, just because, you know. You know the one. Let it rock, let it roll. Let the Bible Belt come and save my soul. Hold on to 16 as long as you can. Changes come around, and not for Diane.
God, you guys, I think I need a new heart. I think I need a new heart. Very, very new heart. Brilliant and sad. Oh, man, that was just, that was the best Tom Waits song I've ever seen acted out on stage. That was... I'm sorry, Leonard Cohen, whatever. All right, we have a couple more heartbroken individuals who are here to just let Diane know how much she means to us, and frankly, we're gonna see if this works. Ladies and gentlemen, someone who has had his heart broken on multiple occasions by Diane, he's gonna break your hearts right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Blank.
Right there, because I got hands. Hey, everybody. I also wrote a letter to Diane. Man, I feel like Diane was really running the fucking... Okay. She should run for public office. All right. So I wrote a letter to Diane because I was really hurt. And so I'll just read it to you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for showing up, by the way. This is cool. Dear Diane, that's how that should start. As you left, I cried, and I will never forget that day. I need you back, and I know that it takes a lot to win you back. Originally, I had written you a song. It was about how I used to see my love in your smile. I used to look into your eyes and see my love in your eyes. And it was a beautiful country song called Why'd You Wipe My Love Off Your Face?
There's levels to that.
But as I am not a great musician, I decided to write you this letter. And there are a few things I'll never forget in my life. Like 9/11, the Alamo, the words to All Star by Smash Mouth, and your parting words as you left me for Kyle, the Young Life leader, as you yelled over your shoulder, I'm going to make America great again. Now, I understand that I am not a great orator like Cicero or JFK or Kanye West. So I decided to write you this letter to get you to understand what has happened in my life because of your loss, you leaving, by choosing the greatest orator of all time, Donald Trump, on Twitter. I understand that you leaving may not mean as much to you as it does me, but I need you to understand how my life is going right now. So let's start by the way that my friends talk to me about you leaving me using Donald Trump's tweets. Robert Pattinson should not take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again. Just watch. He can do much better. October 17th, 2012. Your president. That seems mean, but I think I had more to say. Robert, I'm getting a lot of heat for saying you should dump Kristen, but I'm right. If you saw the Miss Universe girls, you would reconsider. October 18th, 2012. I need you to understand that this is the way that my friends talk to me. I know that the names don't match up, but they mean the same thing. For example, the other day when my buddy Jason said basically this, but this is still Donald Trump. You know, your president. At Katy Perry. It's the at thing, right? Okay. Is no bargain, but I don't like John Mayer. He dates and tells. Be careful, Katie. Just watch. Now, I agree my friends are idiots. But I've also come in contact with some of your friends as well at the bar. And I understand that they don't like me and they talk quite foully of me, even though you left me for that Young Life leader. I've heard them talk about me, and the best way that I can tell you what they said about me, because I know you weren't around, they waited till you went to the bathroom with your purse and your friend, is to tell you in Donald Trump tweets what your friends, how your friends made me feel. So I present to you this. Your friends talked poorly of me, and I could only say it like this. Every time I speak of haters and losers, I do so with great love and affection. They cannot help the fact that they were born fucked up. September 28th, 2014, your president, Donald Trump. Again, I am not a great orator, so I choose to use President Trump's words to tell your friends, sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault. May 8th, 2013, your president, Donald Trump. And I get that not all of your friends are the worst, but your friend Lisa was kind of particularly foul to me. So the only way I know to respond to her is maybe again with the great orator, Donald Trump Jr. Nope, still Donald Trump. While at Bette Midler is an extremely unattractive woman, I refuse to say that. Because I always insist on being politically correct. October 28th, 2012, your president, Donald Trump. And I understand that this may be running thin, this premise. But your friends were particularly foul to me. And so the only thing I know to say is, amazing how haters and losers keep tweeting the name Fuckface Von Clownstick like they are so original and like no one else is doing it. May 3rd, 2013, still your president, Donald Trump. And while this seems like a very downtrodden letter, I'd like to bring it up a bit with something a little happier. Like saying windmills are the greatest threat in the U.S. to both bald and golden eagles. Media claims fictional global warming is worse. That's September 9th, 2014. That has nothing to do with this, Diane. But I just wanted you to remember that maybe I'm a wild card. And in closing, I'd like to say something to you out of my own words, first of all. I thought about the many ways that I could tell you that I love you, and much in a Mela Kalikimaka kind of way, which means you overtook our tribal culture with your monotheistic holiday that makes no sense in a tropical climate. And I've searched for the perfect words like that one, and there's only one. So even though your friends hate me, and even though that you left me, I'd like to say in the words of the great Donald Trump, a word that can only mean I love you, despite the constant negative press. Covfefe. I love you, Diane.
At Katy Perry. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. Diane, how are we going to look back on these times, if you can hear us right now? How are we going to remember the Trump years with you in Chum Village in some fancy condo living by yourself, or back here in Friendly Town in our arms, not looking at Facebook or watching the news together, just escaping as we slowly fall asleep, you with your head on my shoulder, as we're drifting away into dreamland, you do that thing you always do where you're like, oh, fuck, I have to empty the dryer. Like, Diane, I think there's one more citizen, one more, who's going to tell you the way that we feel about you. Tell you the way that we all feel about you. You hear that? Yeah. That's my despair being flushed away. In the name of your final lover of Diane, St. Thomas Ledoux.
I'm glad all of y'all could be here today. But I guess I just got to come out and say it first thing. It's kind of upsetting how everyone's behaving. This is a funeral, you guys. I know we're all sad, but we've got to figure out this denial. I was with Diane during her dying moments. Diane had a brain tumor. I should have seen the warning signs when she told me she thought John McCain's testimony at the Comey hearing made sense and was poignant. She said she really thought he stuck it to President Comey. And as she passed away, when she began to slip, she said some things I think in as her tumor-rattled brain started to fizzle out that I think she might regret. She said, Metallica will always be better than Slayer. And that nu metal wasn't even that bad. And then she said, Macklemore's just trying to have a good time. And that Blink-182 was still punk. So I couldn't let that stand. I couldn't let Diane go to rock and roll hell, you guys. Okay, so I tried to bring her back so she could apologize for the things she said. But she's been dead for a while, so it was, CPR didn't work, okay? Chest compression just kind of squeezed all her guts out of her mouth, and which made rescue breaths pretty unpleasant. So then I didn't know what to do. I tried a seance, but it didn't work. I just conjured the ghost of Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys, who also died of a brain tumor, and he called Diane a punk ass and said Blink-182 was bullshit, and then he disappeared back into the ether. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't. That was a bad sign. Clearly, Diane's going to rock and roll hell.
with that kind of premonition. So I tried electrocuting the body, but I just kind of cooked her. Not all at once. Like, so it wasn't a sophisticated setup. I ran a bare wire into like electrical outlet and like wrapped it around her a little bit. But it didn't seem like it was doing anything at first. So I walked away. You know, like, have you ever left like a pizza in the oven for too long? So then I maybe thought I could try to soften her up. She was maybe a little too crispy. So I put her in the shed with a humidifier, but that didn't work. She just got kind of moldy like an old cigar. So then I thought maybe we could put Diane in the washing machine, okay? And she just kind of fell apart in there. It was like an old t-shirt, you know, just not a chance. And then I really didn't know what to do, you guys. Okay, so I thought maybe I could like try to use glue or something, like some kind of like stinky paper mache. I don't know if you ever tried to like handle the glue with that stuff though. You make it out of cornstarch, it feels like semen. You get like feels and looks like cum. And so like a semen covered pile of meat didn't seem like a good look, so I didn't go forward with that idea. I asked my friend who's a wizard if he could do something. I figured he could fix this mess, right? He just got me high. So here we. And then I called my other friend who's a doctor. He answered the phone to Bonnaroo. Said he was apparently high on some of the wizard shit. Told me he was actually quitting his job to be a doctor so he could become a stand-up comic. So he's no use. I had another friend apparently who was a backup singer in the police. I didn't think she could help, but she knew. She came over and just kind of screamed at the body like a cat. I didn't ask that guy, that one creep who thinks y'all were married for. He really lost his mind when they took him to prison. Just really slipped away there. Real delusional fucker. After a while, Diane kind of got to stinking, you guys. I know this lady who fucks her cousins, though. She has an old U-Haul trailer. So she agreed to keep her body there for a while I thought about what to do. But I forgot about it in there, sorry. You know, it's been kind of hot lately, and at this point she was really just basically a bucket of meat and glue, you know? And the heat, like, did something to the contents of the bucket. It kind of like distilled her almost like a tincture or something. Turns out, though, you can vape that stuff, you guys. So anyway, after that, I got too sidetracked to write any more callbacks. So anyway, here's the Diane. You guys. This is where I'm supposed to smoke the vape. I go. Here's the Diane, you guys. Hit it again. Yeah. So anyway, if any of y'all want one last piece of Diane, just see me after the show. I'm St. Thomas to do. Y'all are great. Now give it up for your Mayor Todd.
That sound up, that managed to be like darker than the idea that we rejected. But it's true, she's going to rock and roll hell. But what we will do in honor of Diane is let Grant, Bob, and Grant, Bob, and Greg, aka Husker Du. Send you to heaven, send you to rock and roll heaven with their tribute to Diane as we play off this episode of Friendly Town. Give it up for yourselves, give it up for your performers. Tell your friends. friends about Friendly Town. Next week, we're going to be right back here, same time, same place. Friendly Town has been getting slack in the democracy department, so we decided that Friendly Town needs a new, incredibly obscure, kind of fucked up system of government. That's next week's show. So get your alternative systems of government ready, you guys. Enjoy your tribute, your musical tribute to Diane, and enjoy your week, and try to forget the last 10 minutes of what you just heard. This is going on the internet, by the way. It's going on the Friendly Town podcast, Friendly Town Radio on iTunes. Give us a download on that. Give us a good review. Give it up for the pilot light. Give it up for Todd, Josh, your bartenders tonight. Hang out a little. Enjoy yourselves. Have a couple drinks. See you next week. And, of course, mark your calendars. August 21st, in addition to the solar eclipse, it is our one-year anniversary show here at Friendly Town, August 21st. Have a good night. Get home safe. We love you. Good night.